Of course, most of you know we've spent the last 6 weeks focusing on the mission of Hope Christian Church. And since we've spent so much time on this, I hope that you're at least becoming familiar with our mission statement that's on the front of your bulletin each week. In fact, I would encourage you that if you haven't learned that mission statement by now, then you would take the time just to learn it, even to memorize it. It's really not that hard. It's just one sentence, and it's something that we should all know because it reminds us of why we're here. The mission of Hope Christian Church is simply to glorify God by developing a community of committed disciples of Jesus Christ, which has an impact for Christ locally and around the world. That's not that hard. We can learn that, and we ought to, because we ought to be able to explain why we come here all the time and why we do the things that we do. So that if somebody would ask you, what do you guys do at Hope Christian Church? You could say, well, what we're trying to do is, ultimately, we're trying to glorify God. And we're doing that by trying to build a community here, relationally, a community of a certain kind of person, and that person is a committed disciple of Jesus Christ. And the reason we're trying to do that is so that we can have an impact for Christ right here where we are, but also around the world. I mean, that's just the big picture of what we're trying to do around here. Now, as you know, if you've been here for the last 5 weeks, we've been focusing on five of the key ministry areas that help us to accomplish that mission. And those are, again, listed on the front of your bulletin down at the bottom of that block. And over the past 5 weeks, we've looked at teaching, fellowship, cultural impact, our worship, and also evangelism and missions. And this morning, we're going to talk about the last one of those, which is prayer. If you would look at the expanded version of our mission statement, it says this about prayer. It says, we will devote ourselves to communicating with God by His Spirit. And then we're going to do that in a number of different ways, through praise, confession, thanksgiving, and expressing our needs. Those are all the different ways that we pray. And then we want to do that among the whole church family. So we want to pray at times together when we're in the big group. And then we also want to pray in small groups, but we also want to encourage you to pray individually as well. And of course, there's a purpose behind all that. And that's in order to enjoy fellowship with God and to trust Him to act on our behalf. So that's kind of the big picture of what we're trying to do. Now, if you were with us last fall, you may remember that we started off our ministry year by focusing on prayer for 40 days. Remember, we had a 40 days of prayer emphasis. And of course, the reason that we did that was because we recognize the fact that prayer is essential to all that we do around here. So when you think about the things that we've talked about these past weeks, when you think about teaching, prayer is essential to that. And when you think about our fellowship with one another, that's something we should be praying for because prayer is essential to that as well. Or when you look at cultural impact or our worship or evangelism and missions, prayer, again, is essential to all of those different ministries that we do. Many of you know Psalm 127, verse 1, and that starts this way. It says, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. And that verse is a reminder of the fact that we cannot do God's work through our own human effort. We need His help in everything that we do. And prayer is one of the ways that we acknowledge that and depend on God for His help. And since that's the case, this morning, I want to teach you a little bit about how to pray for the mission of Hope Christian Church. And what I would like to do is to take each one of these areas that we've looked at so far and just teach you a little bit about praying for those various areas. So we're going to take each one at a time. For example, we'll look at teaching for a little bit and talk about how to pray for our teaching ministries. And then we'll look at all the other issues that we've talked about, teaching and fellowship and cultural impact and worship and evangelism and missions, and just talk about for a little bit how to pray for each one of those aspects of our ministry. But then after we talk about each one, we're going to practice what I preach, so to speak. And just take a couple of minutes, take some time after each one, and we'll actually pray for these things, okay? That's where we're headed. So let's just start with teaching. Prayer for our teaching. By the way, I've listed an outline for this that you may find handy when we get to the prayer part. And since I've got a little bit more than we normally have, it starts on the inside of the bulletin and then goes on to the back, a little bit different than we have been doing. Prayer for our teaching. You know, when we talk about teaching spiritual truth, which is what we're trying to do around here in our teaching, when we talk about spiritual truth, I think we recognize the fact that prayer is essential to both ends of the process of teaching. In other words, prayer is essential for those who are teaching, and it is also essential for us as we are being taught or as we're learning as well. So what I want to do here this morning is just give you three ideas of what to pray for those who are teachers, and then three ideas of what to pray for all of us as we are in the position of learners as well. And so let's start with prayer for our teachers. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Be diligent to present yourself, approved to God as a workman, who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth." You know, as you think about praying for our teachers or your teachers or the teachers who teach your children, one of the things that we ought to be praying is that our teachers would be getting the time that they need in God's Word, studying His Word, so that they can teach the Word of God accurately. You know, one of the things that should be clear to you around here is we're not just trying to communicate our thinking, our own ideas. We want to communicate God's thinking, and that's why we spend so much time in the Scriptures. But as our teachers teach, they want to be doing the same thing. They don't want to just be teaching what they think. They want to teach what God thinks. So let's pray for our teachers that they would spend the time in the Word that they need to accurately handle the Word of truth. Now, a second thing that we need to be praying for our teachers is that they would actually be applying the Word of truth that they are teaching. Paul gives a convicting reminder on that. He says, "You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that one should not steal, do you steal?" I can't tell you the number of times that I have stood up here and taught things, and the Lord has brought that verse to mind even while I've been teaching. I memorize it in a different version. "You then who teach others, will you not teach yourself? While you preach against stealing, do you steal?" See, one of the things that's key is that we're not trying to traffic in unlived truth around here or unpracticed truth. So we're not just trying to teach you the ideas that we see from the book. We want to teach you the ideas that we're actually putting into practice. So pray for all of our teachers that they would do what they know. That's the second thing that I want to keep in mind as we pray for our teachers. Then the third thing is that we would pray that our teaching would have an impact. Paul said this to Timothy. He said, "Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things. For as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you." Now, if you think about what Paul is saying there, he's reminding Timothy that if Timothy does his part, and if he looks after his own life, if he applies what he knows, and if he pays attention to his teaching, if he works at it, then that's going to have an impact on other people. And that's what we want to be praying as well, that our teaching would have impact on the people who are learning. I remember a number of years ago, I was talking with one of my mentors about what makes for a good sermon. And we spent a lot of time just talking about the different aspects of homiletics and delivering a sermon and all these different things. And we talked and talked and talked and probably went on for about an hour. And then finally, at the end of our whole discussion, this friend said to me, he said, "Ray, you know, there's really only one thing that determines whether or not a sermon is a good sermon or a bad sermon." And I said, "What's that?" And he said, "Whether or not God uses it." And ever since he said that, every time when I get to the end of the process of doing my study and writing my sermon and going over it a number of times to make sure I can deliver it in a halfway intelligible way, when I'm done with all that work, I stop and I pray and I ask God to use it in the lives of the people who listen. And that's something we should be praying for all of our teachers across the board, that God would use what he's given them. So those are three things to pray for teachers. Now let me share with you three things that we ought to be praying for all of us when we're in the position of learners. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, "Like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation." I think one of the first things that we ought to be praying for all of us as learners is that God would give us a heart for his word. I'm sure you've noticed, like I have, that having a hunger for God's word is not something that you've got naturally. And we're not born with that. That's something that God has to cultivate within us. So we ought to be praying about that, asking God to give us a hunger for his word, so that when we open it up to read it ourselves, or when somebody is teaching it to us, we've got a desire for it, a hunger for his words. That's the first thing we ought to be praying. Secondly, I think we ought to be praying for ourselves and for others when we're learning, that God would give us the spiritual eyes to see what we're looking at on the page. You've all had experiences of reading the Bible when you read the words, but you don't get the message. We've all done that. And we ought to be praying that God would give us the spiritual eyes to see. And Psalm 119 summarizes that real well. It's a prayer. "Open my eyes, that I may behold wonderful things from thy law." And that's what we ought to be praying for ourselves and for others as well in our position as learners. And then a third thing, again, that we ought to be praying for ourselves, just like we pray for our teachers, is that we would do what we see. Familiar verse in James, "Prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves." See, obviously, God did not give us his word just to make us smarter sinners. He gave us his word to make us different people and to change our lives. So that's one of the things that we want to pray as we spend time in his word. Okay, I have just given you a prayer list for praying for the teaching of Hope Christian Church. Three things to pray for our teachers, three things to pray for all of us as learners. Now what I'd like to ask you to do is to pray. And here's what I'd like to suggest. Think of one teaching ministry here at Hope Christian Church. It may be what we do from the front here on Sunday mornings. Or it may be the Sunday school class that you attend or that your children attend. Or it might be a small group that you're involved in. Or it might be one of the youth ministries for our middle school or for our high schoolers. But think of one of those ministries, and then would you spend some time now as we go to prayer praying for that. And as I mentioned in your bulletin, I've listed the verses that we've just looked at. And one thing you might do is just sit there with your Bible and just flip through those verses and pray for them. Pray for the teachers in those ministries, and then pray for the learners in those ministries. And let's just spend 3-4 minutes or so in prayer for the teaching ministries of our church. So it's going to be real quiet in here, and some of you may not be able to handle that, but go to the Lord in prayer and just pray for our teaching ministries. Let's pray together. And I'll call us back here in a little bit. Father, we want to thank you for the men and women here at Hope Christian Church who are committed to teaching your word. Just thank you for the many of them and many who taught this first hour here in this building today and those who are teaching downstairs right now. Thank you for the many who help lead small groups during the week and those who are involved in our middle school and high school times. Thank you for the various ministries that are going on to teach your word. And I pray that you would help us to remain faithful to your scriptures. And I pray that you would use our efforts. Lord, you know that we are dependent on you in all of this. And we just pray that you would continue to keep Hope Christian Church, one that is strong in our teaching, and one that is speaking the words that you have given to us through your apostles and prophets. And we just ask that you would continue to equip us to be able to do that for your glory. Amen. Let's think for a little bit about praying for the fellowship of our church. Did you know that Jesus actually prayed for our relationships with one another on one occasion? Did you know that? Open up your Bibles to John chapter 17. I want to show you where that is. John chapter 17, the Gospel of John chapter 17. It was the night before Jesus went to the cross. And he was praying for his disciples. But he also prayed for you and for me. John 17, let's look at verse 20. Jesus prayed to the Father and said, I do not ask in behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word. When he said these alone, he's referring to the 12 or so and others who are around him at the time. But he said, not just for those alone, but also for those who believe in me through their word. Now, who would that include? All of us. Yeah, because we have all believed through his word in one way, through their word rather, in one way or another. So when Jesus prayed that prayer, he was not just praying for those disciples who were there. He was praying for all disciples who would follow. Now, look at one of the things he prayed in the next verse, verse 21. He says, that they may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. So he's praying for them, but also for all of us, that we would be one. He wanted the unity in the relationships among the people in the church family. Now, if Jesus thought it was important to pray for the relationships of those believers as well as all believers of all time, don't you think it's important for us to pray for the same thing? And the answer to that is, yes, of course it is, yes. See, this is something we ought to be praying about. We ought to be praying for our relationships with one another. Now, as you read through the rest of the New Testament, you come up with a long prayer list of things that you could pray. And I just want to give you one place to start over in Philippians chapter 2. So turn in your Bibles to Paul's letter to the Philippians. And we'll look at chapter 2 in just a moment. Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 1, as Paul begins his letter, one of the things that he starts off with is a reminder of what he was praying for them. He told them some of the things he was praying. And one of those things is in verse 9, right at the beginning, he says, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more. So in other words, he's saying, one of the things I'm praying for you guys is that your love for one another would really grow. And then as you see in the rest of this letter, he teaches them some things that would help their love to grow. And you see one of those passages is in chapter 2. Let's look at verses 1 through 4. Paul says, if therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, I think that's a great summary a great summary prayer list for our relationships in the church. I mean, the things that you see there are the things that create unity. You know, one mind, he talks about, the same mind, the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Humility, counting others as more important than himself. So I'd like us to use these verses as a prayer list to pray for the relationships here at Hope Christian Church. And here's what I would suggest that you do. I'd like to suggest that you get together with just a small group around you and pray the things in these verses for our church. Now, I realize that for some of you that may be uncomfortable praying with somebody you don't know, so I'm not going to mandate that. If you would feel better praying by yourself, feel free to do that. So I'm not mandating that. But if you'd like to, I want to give you freedom to, just to get with just some people around you, pray these verses for Hope Christian Church. If you're new here, maybe this is your first time, and you don't feel comfortable praying with another group of people, one thing you might do is just pray through those verses and ask God to give you that kind of a relationship with somebody around here. So you might just pray through those verses and say, God, let me get to know some people here in this room, in this place, and develop that kind of relationship. But let's just go to prayer. And again, I encourage you, if you feel comfortable doing it, get with a small group. Pray these verses for Hope Christian Church. But again, if you'd feel more comfortable just praying by yourself, feel free to do that. But let's just go to prayer for a little bit and pray for the fellowship of Hope Christian Church. Father, you've just heard a lot of prayers. And I thank you that you can hear them all at once and take them all in. And I just ask on behalf of all who've prayed one more time, Lord, would you hear and would you answer? Lord, I know that you want us to be one. You want us to be the kind of people like Paul wrote about here. We know that's your will. And Lord, we pray that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Let's talk for a little bit about praying for our cultural impact. When we talked about this a few weeks ago, I reminded you that God does want us to be salt and light in his world. And that particular week, we looked at the fact that part of being light in the world involves shining the light in dark places. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11 was one of the key verses we looked at that week. And says, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. As many of you know, one of the unfruitful deeds of darkness here in the state of Massachusetts right now has been an effort to redefine marriage from the way that God originally intended it to be, to include marriage for people of the same sex. You know, the Bible is very clear about what marriage was intended to be. It's very clear that God intended marriage to be a covenant commitment between one man and one woman as long as they both shall live. It's very clear about that. In fact, when Jesus was asked a question about marriage on one occasion, he took his questioners back to the very first comment that God made about the relationship between a man and a woman, which was really actually one of the very first pieces of commentary in the Bible itself. After Moses had written about the creation of Adam and Eve and talked about how God created them, Moses put in a piece of commentary explaining what that was all about. And that piece of commentary, said this. Moses said, after describing the creation of Adam and Eve, he said, for this cause a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. This is the passage that Jesus used to define marriage. Now, the words that are used here are so common to us, they're just so familiar, that I think we miss how significant they are in our culture today. Just look at the simple words there. man, wife, father, mother. It's very, very clear that this is not intended to be something that would be experienced by people of the same sex. And then in addition to that, the Bible says many other things about that particular issue. Now, whose responsibility is it to speak to our culture about this deed of darkness? Whose job is that? That's our job as the church. Now, this is an issue for prayer. A week from this coming Thursday, which would be a week from this Thursday, would be the 9th of November. The joint legislature of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts is scheduled to meet in a joint session to have a constitutional convention to consider an initiative petition to amend the Constitution of Massachusetts to define marriage solely as a relationship between one man and one woman. Now, this issue has been before our legislature on two occasions already this year, once in May, and they voted to postpone it till July. When it came up to call for the Constitutional Convention in July, they met and they adjourned until November 9th. There are also people at work right now in the legislature to try to keep this from coming up again on November 9th, and to let the thing die out so that by the end of the year it's not addressed as it's supposed to be by law, and hopefully let the whole thing disappear. I would like to ask us to take just some time right now to pray that that would not be the case, that the legislature would meet, that they would bring this before the legislature, and at least take a vote on it. And I think that's something that we all ought to be praying about, and I'd like us to pray right now. And I'd just like to ask a few of you to lead us in prayer for that. So if two or three of you would do that. And please pray loud enough that everybody can hear you and join with you in prayer. But I'll just take us to the Lord on this. And then if two or three others would just pray and lead us in prayer for this time. Let's pray together. Father, there's not one of us here that would want to take the position of being the judge of our culture. We don't feel qualified for that. But we know that you are the judge of our culture, and you have told us to speak at times. And we know that this is an issue that concerns you, and one about which you have directed the church to speak. Lord, a lot of people have spoken about this, and over 170,000 people responded to sign a petition to put this on the ballot before the people eventually, and it's first got to be addressed by our legislature. So, Lord, we want to spend just a couple of minutes and pray that you would be involved in that process and that your value system might be brought about and instituted in this state where centuries ago people came to establish a society where people would honor you and fear you and follow you. And Lord, we've gone far from that. And we want to pray that you would bring us back. Well, just two or three of you, whatever, just pray about this issue for us, please. Well, let's think for a few minutes about praying about our worship. Now, obviously, when we think about worship, we realize that prayer is one of the key ways that we express our worship. But that's not what I want to talk about here for the next couple of minutes. I don't want to talk about praying in worship. I want to talk about praying for our worship. Many of you know the encounter that Jesus once had with a woman by a well in Sychar, Samaria. We actually looked at this back in the spring when we talked about Jesus reaching people. And in that conversation that Jesus had with this particular woman, he made this comment. He said to her, "But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth." And then notice this next phrase. It says, "For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers." Now, the thing I want you to notice there is that God is looking for a certain type of person to be his worshiper. In other words, not any kind of worshiper will do from God's perspective. And one of the things you see when you look throughout the Bible is it says a lot of things about how we should worship God. Now, here's my question for you this morning. Have you ever prayed about what kind of worshiper you are? Have you ever prayed that God would make you the kind of worshiper that he wants you to be? Or have you ever prayed that he would make our church collectively the kind of worshipers that he would like us to be? See, obviously, if God cares about what kind of worshipers we are, I think that's something that we ought to pray about. So I would like to pray about that for us. And focus on some of the things in prayer that the Lord says about how we worship him. And just ask him to help us become those kind of worshipers. So let me just lead us in prayer for this part. Father, I just want to start by thanking you for the privilege of worshiping you. Lord, I know so often we think of it as a duty or a responsibility, but it is such a privilege. Lord, I think of how the angels or angelic beings, whatever they are, flying around your throne saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come." And I thank you that we have the privilege of joining them. And we were able to do that this morning, even in our songs. Thank you for that. Lord, I thank you that we will one day be in the company of such beings who say, "Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and because of your will they existed and were created." And Lord, that's true of us as well. And we just thank you for that privilege. Father, we just read here in your word that you want us to be those who worship you in spirit and in truth. And I just want to pray for us that you would help us to grow to be those kind of worshipers. Or that we would connect with you spiritually in the spiritual realm. Father, you know that we're just temporal people. We live in the physical realm. We think in the physical realm, the temporal realm, so much more naturally than we do the spiritual realm. Father, would you grow us, please, that we might be able to grasp you as you truly are, as a spiritual being who's eternal, that we would see ourselves as spiritual beings who are eternal with you, and that you would help us to learn what it means to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, I pray that you'd help us to be true and honest before you. Lord, you know we can't hide anything from you. And you know what's on the inside. You know what's in the secret places. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us to be open and honest with that. Father, you've told us to worship you adorned in holiness. And Lord, we're like Isaiah, though. When we look at your holiness, we just say, "Woe is me, for I'm ruined. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips." But I thank you, Lord, that just like you did with him, you have cleansed us. And Lord, I pray that as we come to you, that we would be worshipers who appreciate that. That you've made us fit to call you Father and Lord and King. Thank you for that. Lord, you've told us to worship the Lord with reverence. Lord, forgive us for the times when we are too casual with you. I thank you that we can call you Father, but I also thank you that you are an awesome God. I thank you, Lord, that you are a consuming fire, and yet you love us. And I just pray that you would help us to be able to handle those apparent contradictions, that the awesome God that you are, that you still love us. But Lord, allow us to get glimpses of that when we worship you. Father, you've told us to enter your gates with thanksgiving and your courts with praise. Lord, we want to be thankful worshipers. Lord, I imagine there are times when you hear all the complaints that you can handle. Lord, we don't want to be complaining worshipers. We know you want to hear our struggles, and we know that you are eager to hear those things. But we don't want to be complainers. We want to be thankful people. Make us thankful worshipers, please. And then, Lord, I think about the fact, too, that man, most of our worship doesn't take place with our eyes closed and our heads bowed or in a place like this. But you want us to be living sacrifices, that would be our spiritual service of worship. Lord, I just confess that hardly a day goes by that I even think about worshiping you in the midst of the normal stuff. I've got to work at that. I don't naturally think that way. And I pray that you'd help us to grow in that, Father, that even in the mundane things we do, fixing a meal or cutting the grass or cleaning the house or doing our jobs, helping a child, that you would help us to see those things as worship. Father, I pray that you would help our eyes to look on things that would honor you. Help our minds to think on things that would glorify you. Our hands and our hands to do things and our feet to go places that would honor you. Lord, we know you've created us for something bigger than ourselves, and a lot of that is to glorify you. All of that's to glorify you. And we just ask that you would help us to grow and just to keep this on our heart, because we want to be the kind of worshipers that you're looking for. And we ask you even today to take us a little bit closer to that for your glory. Amen. Praying for evangelism and missions. And this is one area where I just want to encourage you that as I've gotten to know many of you and seen us as a church, I think this is something that most of you cover in prayer pretty well. I know that many of you have family members and close friends who don't yet know the Lord, and you're praying faithfully for them, and I want to commend you for that. Again, last year in our 40 days of prayer emphasis, One week, I spoke about praying for those who are spiritually lost. And one thing I did in your bulletin, on the back side of the bulletin, I've just listed some of the things that I covered in that one message about praying for the lost. So you can look those over. If it's been a while since you've seen those things, it can refresh your memory on praying for the lost. And then right below it, you'll notice that I've also included a short prayer list for praying for our missionaries or other ministries that we're involved in. And I just want to highlight those just real quickly, just a brief comment on each one. The first thing I've suggested there is that we pray for their burdens. And 2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 11, Paul talks about that, of just how the people in Corinth shared his burdens that he had. You know, all of the people that we pray for, the various missionaries that you personally support or those we support as a church, they go through life just like we do. And they go through the stresses of life, but sometimes even greater ones. I know over the years we've talked about specifically the Fosters in Mozambique. And there are lots of times they don't have water, times when they don't have electricity, times when you have to worry about bugs and snakes and the kind that kill you. and malaria every season and all that kind of stuff. You know, so let's remember their burdens. Another thing that Paul asked prayer for specifically, and I've listed two passages, one in Romans and 2 Thessalonians, where he prayed for the opposition. You know, we have opposition around here at times when we share the gospel with people, but there's greater opposition in other places. And you know that some of our missionaries are in places where they can be thrown out of the country or thrown in jail, possibly, for sharing the gospel with people. So we need to pray about the opposition. Of course, just like the rest of us, they need open doors for the gospel. And Colossians chapter 4, Paul asked that people would pray for open doors. And then finally, prayer that the word of the Lord would spread, that it would have the impact that it's always had and spread rapidly. As you know, we spend some time once a month praying for our missionaries, and we're going to do that in just a moment. So just like we do on every Sunday, go ahead and find the missionary that you pray for. Their signs are around the room, and they go there. Don't leave quite yet. I just want to mention one other thing. A couple things I want to announce because we're going to wrap up right after that. We're going to have a corporate prayer time this Thursday night. It's 7 o'clock. That's in your bulletin. But we'll just join here probably downstairs and just get together to pray for the ministries of the church in general. But we want this to also be a special time of prayer for our youth ministries and also for the Genesis ministry coming up. So we'll pray for anything you want to pray about, but we want to also pray specifically for those two ministries. So I just wanted to announce that. We'll have that corporate prayer time on Thursday evening, the 2nd. And then also just one mundane announcement that I got to stick in somewhere, so I'm going to do it right here, is that after the worship service today, when we close here in just a few minutes, would especially all of you men who can just give us about 10 minutes, we need to clean everything out of the big room downstairs because we're going to have the carpet cleaners come in tomorrow and just need to get all that stuff off the carpet. So if all the men could just go down, pick up some chairs, move the stuff, and we'll get that thing done real quick. Okay? So let's go pray for our missionaries, and Ian and the worship team will close us in about 10 minutes. And if you don't know what I'm talking about when I talk about praying for our missionaries, why don't you come up here in the front row, and I will give you an overview of missions at Hope Christian Church. It's been great to have you here today. Let's pray for our missionaries, and then we'll close in a song in a little bit. And again, if you'd like to learn more about our Hope Church missions, just come right to the front row.